This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, there's history. Remember your social studies class? And there's doggone great history. Yep, I am talking about taking a look at the 140 years of history of the American Kennel Club. And here to be our possum guide is the executive secretary of the American Kennel Club. Please give pause and applause to Gina DiNardo. Welcome, welcome, Gina.
Oh, thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
140 years. That is older than me and my producer, Mark Winter, combined. That's a lot of time.
And many, many, many companies. We are really so thrilled to be honoring and celebrating our 140th. You know, we started back in September of 1884, if you can imagine.
1884. I can just imagine. There was no Google. There was no TV. You know, they're gents in top hats, right?
That's exactly right. And we were, in fact, started by 12 sportsmen who responded to a call for a meeting. And they met in the rooms of the Philadelphia Kennel Club that fall. And each member was a delegate for a club. And they created, back then, our first constitution and bylaws, and we went from there.
So do you have any idea who these, like, any of these 12 men were? Were any of them, like, I don't know, somebody famous, like Benjamin Franklin? Oh, no, he was already gone. Sorry, Mike. I just flunked history, Gina.
Yes. So, like, you can do some, like, we had Major Taylor, who was famous in the war, and a net gentleman named Elliot Smith. Back then, one of our most famous founders was August Belmont from, yes, that very famous family that we all know from New York City. He actually, in 1888, became AKC's fourth president. And he actually started our AKC Gazette, which is our sports journal, with his own money back in 1887. And since then, the AKC Gazette is the second longest continuously published sporting journal in the country.
Wow. Yeah. 1889 is when it first came out.
1887.
You know, these days with media, to be around for 10 years is an applause generator. But to be around over this duration, what do you think has kept the AKC Gazette still being published?
Well, because it contains, you know, back in the day, it was the only way people could access what was going on in the world of dogs around them. And as the sport of purebred dogs grew, right, it was this journal where you could find out who had won and who was being shown. There was a little bit of gossip and intrigue, who was judging, like everything that there was to know was published in the AKC Gazette.
Oh. And
so from there, you know, even today, you'll turn and you look, we have our discipline in there, who's approved to judge. So it's still to this day.
Well, it's got relevancy, yeah?
Exactly. And so people still read it. They can't wait for it to come out. It's a monthly and we publish it. It's only digital now.
That's good. Save some trees.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, everyone. We're speaking with Gina DiNardo. She's the executive secretary of the American Kennel Club. And we're going to dive into its rich history after we take this quick break. And you know the drill, guys. Come on. Sit. Stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the All Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I have been looking forward to this, to be able to speak to Gina Denaro of the American Kennel Club to talk the history of this amazing organization. And she was just talking about the fact that its AKC Gazette, now digital, is still alive and wagging its tail and barking out
great
news. I love that. I teach pet first aid, and I always have fun with my students because I make it fun and practical. It's called Pet First Aid for You. So we have a thing, Gina, that says how to do a MacGyver. What do you do when you don't have a commercial muzzle and the dog is injured? It'll come back to the AKC. I always point you guys out because there has to be two different ways to do a makeshift muzzle on a dog because of their muzzle. So we use a leash for dogs like the Labrador Retriever.
Sure.
But then we use a leash rolled in a towel like a pool noodle to be able to render aid to a dog that's a brachiocephalic breed, a pushed-in nose. I bring this all up because you know the facts. Tell everybody, what was the most popular breed for 31 years until 2 years ago?
Oh, the Labrador Retriever. It was by far the most popular breed for a very long time.
That's a good streak.
Yes. Why? Because they're so trainable. They're hardy. They are friendly, biddable. You know, they love to be with people.
Yeah.
They generally get along well with other dogs. You know, they're just not as demanding in terms of training as some other dogs, and pretty easy to care for. That fits in with a lot of nice lifestyles.
It was going pretty good for the Labradors. And then that's my high-tech drum run. What happened? C'est magnifique. Some new breed came onto the top spot.
Yes, the French Bulldog now for the last 2 years is held spot number one. And it was creeping up, you know, over the last decade. And we saw it reach the top 10, then the top five. And we saw it continue to increase in popularity. And, you know, especially in the city, I see them here in New York City all over the place. They're, you know, a nice, small, compact breed. They're fun. They're hardy. Again, they have great personalities.
And they snore.
They do. My brother has them and they snore tremendously.
Well, at least he can blame it on the dog. That's always
that's
a good
right.
thing. So that's pretty cool. But then this year, your 140th year, the American Kennel Club added breed number 201. Tell us about that one.
Right. So we added the Lancashire Heeler, which is not a new breed by any means, but it is new to the AKC. It's a small black and tan breed. Again, you said number 201. It's sturdy, developed as a drover.
Where does it hail from, this breed?
Well, from that part of Lancashire, first it became really popular in the UK, but I think it's come all the way from down under.
Oh, all right. Well, years ago, I had a Pembroke Welsh Corgi. And at the time, no one really knew what a Corgi was. Corgis are kind of rising in rank too, right?
Yes, people love their Corgis. I think the Pembroke is a little bit more popular right now than the Cardigan. But we see a lot of, like, especially on social media, a lot of pages and accounts devoted to Pembrokes and the meetup groups and such. And there are a lot of breeds that are very popular. And, you know, I also just point out there's so many rare breeds that would make great pets for people. And you can learn about those as well. And, you know, if you don't want the common dog that everyone has, you can find 100 other breeds that fit your lifestyle.
And tell us the website again for you, because we'll be repeating it.
Sure. The American Kennel Club's website, our initials, akc.org. It's a great reference and resource for really all things dog, purebred, mixed breed, our sports. No, health, it's great. Training tips, you name it. Yep.
So before we go to break, I'm going to test you. Pretend you're on Dog Jeopardy. It is okay. The final Jeopardy question.
Whoa.
What was the first breed recognized by the American Kennel Club in 1884?
The very first. Now, we had the top 10 at once. So there was Pointer in there, English Setter in
there. Yeah, that's the one. The English Setter Adonis. Yeah. What was the first breed accepted by the American Kennel Club in 1884? This is your Jeopardy question in a form of a question, your answer.
What is the English Setter?
Alex Trebek in heaven is going, woof, woof, woof. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to talk more about the life of being the executive secretary for the American Kennel Club with our guest, Gina DiNardo, after we take this quick break. So I'm having a blast with this history lesson, if you will, with her. So everybody sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Provost. You might remember me as Timmy from the Lassie series. Well, you know, every time Lassie comes home, she always has me turn on Pet Life Radio so she can listen to Arden Moore on that show, you know, Oh Behave.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I'm having a great time. Our guest is Gina DiNardo. She is with the American Kennel Club. And you've been with them for a minute, right?
A minute and a half, almost 30 years. Wow. I started back in 1995 and worked through a variety of different departments.
What was your first gig there?
I worked in the event plans department, which processes all of the club's applications to hold events. And I was part of just the approval, you know, the system of approving and stamping and taking their money and recording it. And
what made you say I want to go to AKC instead of KFC? I don't know.
I grew up showing and breeding dogs with my family as our sport and hobby.
Oh, what was the breed?
We started with Great Danes and Doberman Pinschers.
Wow.
And then had a variety of other breeds as we showed as junior handlers. We used to be able to really get whatever little breed we wanted to show for junior. So I had a lot of experience with different breeds.
Was this in the New York area or where?
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut. So Northeast. And I just went to dog shows basically my whole life. So it was second nature to me. And then after college, I moved to the city and I was like, oh, it would be great to work at AKC, wouldn't it? And luckily, I got myself an entry-level job there, and that was 30 years ago, and here I am.
So you've been there 30 years, not 140, just to everybody know.
She's just 30.
Just 30. But what do you think about the role that the American Kennel Club plays now? It started with these gents in 1884, and now look where they've evolved. There's so much to the AKC.
There's so much to the AKC that most people don't know. Like a lot of people will think about, oh, there's those dog shows on TV. But we are so much more. We have a government relations department that lobbies and protects the rights of all dog owners and helps create good dog law in communities across the country. We have a Canine Health Foundation that raises millions of dollars for canine health research. We have a 24-hour recovery service for lost pets. We have an amazing library and an archive with all of the historical information going back to 1887 when our first gazettes were published. We have awards and we recognize, you know, canine heroes and working dogs. And we have a patriotic puppy program where we're helping raise dogs that are desperately needed for the protection of our borders in our countries. In fact, through our patriotic puppy program, we have 6 dogs that are currently working with the Capitol Police. And we have 28 different sports. We're not just dog shows or field trials. We have rally and obedience and lure coursing and fast cat.
No bowling?
No bowling yet. But we bowling dogs now. And then we also have just great training programs. We have a star puppy program for basic good manners for puppies. We have something called Canine Good Citizen.
My 2 dogs, I have Canine Good Citizen, Kona and
Very
Emma.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty easy, trainable 10-step test that shows your dog gets along well with others and is good in the community. And a lot of apartment buildings will use it as a way to, accept a dog. Some insurance, homeowners insurance companies will give you discounts if you have a CGC dog. So we have so much to it.
Mine went on to become certified therapy pets. So yeah, I think the Canine Good Citizen is one of the best things. Because dogs are taught manners and then they know what's going on. And like you say, they get invited more to do things.
That's right.
And their parents can go into housing and all that. So that's an important thing, Gina.
And AKC really just wants everyone to be a responsible dog owner and, enjoy their bond with their dog. And we try to provide as many resources as we can for that.
So we have 201 recognized dog breeds. And one of those that watches the Best in Show and all that. So by now, to be Best in Show, do you have any idea of, I know there used to, is there 7 categories?
There's still 7 groups.
But there's zillions of dogs and breeds in each of those groups, right?
Yes. Somewhere between 28 and 34 dogs in each of the groups.
Wow. So to win in your group is something.
It absolutely is. It's huge just to get a group. Yeah, absolutely.
So people are always rooting for different dogs. And I just want to ask, when's the last time a Labrador has ever won? I don't think.
A Best in Show? Not frequently.
Isn't that ironic? Don't you think?
It really is.
I mean, they're so popular, but what happened? They get beat out by the Havanese.
They get beat out by some of the more exotic breeds. It doesn't mean there aren't good Labradors out there in the dog show world, but some of the other rare breeds do seem to rise to the top most frequently.
So do you ever have a Best in Show party or something? Or are you able to say who you're rooting for as a breed or not because you do represent the AKC?
Right. So if I'm at a dog show, I'm pretty neutral, but I do have, just from watching a million dog shows and knowing, a fair bit about dogs, I have my favorites always or the ones I think should win. But that's everybody's a dog show judge outside the ring.
So who do you have as personal dogs? Who are your 4-leggers?
I have 5 dogs right now. And I have a Rhodesian Ridgeback. I have a Pharaoh Hound.
Oh, nice.
Yep, I have a Glen of a Mall Terrier.
Oh, a friend of mine has one of those, yeah.
Yeah, I have an English Toy Spaniel, which is like the precursor to the Cavalier,
yes.
King Charles.
We call Cavaliers a love sponge, right?
Yeah. And then I have a Toy Manchester Terrier.
Whoa, so what's the difference in the Toy Manchester and I guess the Pharaoh? Who's the biggest, the Pharaoh?
The Ridgeback's the biggest. She's like 95 pounds. And then the Toy Manchester is about 6 pounds, maybe. Maybe 8 pounds.
So what's the 6-pounder and the 95-pounder's names?
The 95-pounder, the Ridgeback, is Kingsley.
Hi, Kingsley.
And the Toy Manchester's name is Jeep.
Jeep?
Yep, like the car.
Front wheel, 4-wheel drive, all-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel drive all the time.
Okay, so who is the boss of the bunch?
The Ridgeback, for sure. She is the queen beast. But they all get along. I kind of make them all get along.
So do you walk all 5 of them down the streets of New York City? At the same time?
No, I live in the suburbs, so I let them run in their backyard. That would be a lot.
All right. There's another thing that I wanted people to know, and you, in 1982, I understand, opened the Dog Museum of America. So talk about that. If people are getting a trip to the Big Apple, they should maybe make a little time.
Yes. So it originated, the AKC Museum of the Dog. It started in New York City. It moved out. And then back in 2019... we moved it from Missouri back to AKC's headquarters. So at 101 Park Avenue on the ground floor is the AKC Museum of the Dog, which has just one of the largest collections of dog art in the world, and lots of educational interactive displays, programs for children, a great, you know, place to stop right outside Grand Central if you're a tourist in New York City. It's a fun way to spend part of your day. It's open to the public.
That's cool.
Tuesday through Saturday. Yeah.
I think next time I go, I'm going to give it a check because I like it. I get my hot dog on the street and then I'll eat it.
Come by.
And then stop by.
AKC's offices are on the same building on the fifth floor, which are open for people to tour as well. So you can make it a twofer.
That's right. Now, I understand 1956, almost 68 years ago, the 5 millionth dog was registered. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Lassie.
Yeah. Talk about this dog.
Well, it was the official Lassie was registered by AKC.
Wow.
And his dog number 5 million.
He wasn't in the well when he got the news, was he?
No. But we've registered lots of famous dames. We've actually registered a non-living dog. We actually registered Snoopy at one point, where Charles Schulz actually submitted a registration certificate for Snoopy, and we created a registration of official foreign. That's the only non-living dog at AKC has ever actually registered, but that's a fun little fact.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if... what's his name? Woodstock probably was dancing on top of the doghouse, right? With joy.
Yes. And if you actually go to the museum, there is some stuff about that in the museum to look at. So it's pretty cool.
Wow.
And so our 5 millionth dog in 1956, and then our 25th million dog in 1981, if you
can
imagine
that. Wow, that's a fast ratio.
Yeah. You know, we're doing like over a million a year. So it just keeps growing and growing.
Do you have any idea how many have been registered now?
Well, if we say a million a year, and that was
81,
I would say.
Wow.
81, 91, 01. So we got to be like 40 million.
You're getting probably 50
something like
million.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And do the math.
I mean, I'm throwing a lot of things at you. You are a walking encyclopedia. I really do like it. Now, 1974, the first women delegates were admitted. Come
That's
on, boys.
Right.
What were you doing?
I know. Get with the program, people.
Talk about that. That's pretty historic.
Yes. So up until that time, from 1884 to 1973, only men were allowed to be AKC delegates. So each member club of AKC.
Kind of like the Augusta Golf Tournament.
Yeah, kind of. At least we did it in the 70s.
Yes.
But interesting, I am the first woman executive secretary for the company in all of the history of the years. So
Wow. Well, we've come a long way. Woof.
Yep, exactly.
So
thank goodness.
You obviously love dogs. The American Kennel Club is historic for all the things. And people now need to know you're so multidimensional and you're appealing to all dogs. The purebreds and the, as I call them, or as Dr. Marty Becker calls them, canine cocktails, you know, the mutts.
Yes, we call them all Americans at AKC. And almost all of our programs and our sports are open to both purebreds and mixed breeds, just not our field trials or the confirmation world. But there are so many things that you can do with your dog and be in the world of AKC. And then if you just want to learn about it, we're saying we mentioned the website, but AKC back in 2018 launched our first over-the-top network, television network called AKC TV. And so there's lots of great programming and videos and information about that. And with that, we now have a syndicated weekly 30-minute television show called Good Dog TV that you can find on your television stations all around the United States, syndicated now in about 120 different cities. So check your
programming. I didn't know that.
Programming.
I will.
It's called Good Dog TV. And it's a magazine, informational, really fun, just a 30-minute show about AKC and dogs.
It's like Entertainment Tonight
with a bark and a dog. Yep, exactly. So check out Good Dog TV.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you this. We're talking with Gina DiNardo. If you could come back as a dog, what breed would it be and why?
I think I would come back as my first love, my first breed is the Doberman Pinscher.
Okay.
I would come back as a dope. Sleek, elegant, smart. all lots of great qualities. Dependable, reliable. It's a good breed.
I think I would come back as a Pembroke Corgi.
You would? Why?
Because I think they're a cross between Robin Williams and the Three Stooges, but they're very smart. right? And they got that butt.
Right.
They got that butt, that wiggle butt. So if we ever see each other as Corgi and Dobie, I hope we'll both say hi to one another.
Absolutely will. We absolutely will.
I really appreciate you being on our show today. We're speaking with Gina DiNardo of the American Kennel Club. Please go to akc.org. You're going to see a whole bunch of cool things that they do for all people who love dogs. And this has been one of my most fun episodes, I must confess, Gina.
It survived.
It wasn't like going to the dentist, hey?
No, it was a pleasure.
And at this time, also, I want to give a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of all the shows on the Pet Life Radio Network. We're the largest radio network for pets. Oh Behave has been on the air since 07. We're the longest running pet podcast on the planet. Not as long as the AKC has been around, but we're getting there. And if you want to check me out, go to ardenmore.com. Sign up for my e-newsletter. I have a YouTube channel. And one of my passions is teaching veterinary-approved pet first aid. And I do it with my terrier mix, Kona, and my really confident orange cat, tabby cat, Casey. And we go all over the world by Zoom and in person. So go to Pet First Aid for You. Until the next time, this is your flea-free mutt host, Arden Moore, saying just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.